Good evening. Tonight's program is a repeat, but a very important one, very timely one. At the end of 2023, I did a debate with a Muslim apologist justifying the Hamas attack on Israel, even claiming that Israel had no right to exist. While the debate took place a couple of years ago, I wish I could say it wasn't relevant anymore. Unfortunately, with all that's going on in the Middle East, it's more relevant than ever. Here is our show from the fall of 2023.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. It's good to be with you. We have a different kind of show tonight. We're going to have a debate, a long-forgotten art. Usually people yell and scream and they don't actually talk to each other. Helping me as kind of a moderator is no stranger to our program, Mike Friedenberg. Mike, welcome to our program.
Bob, glad to be here. Look forward to hearing the discussion.
And my opponent, who's calling in by phone, has been on the show before, Nadir Ahmed. Nadir, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, it's good to... I looked through my archives. It's been since the year 2012 that you've been on our show, so it's been a long time. It doesn't really seem that long ago, but it has been. I'm going to let Mike kind of give your formal bio and then tell us the format of tonight's.
Okay. So tonight it's going to be 5-minute opening statements. I'm not going to be super strict about that, but please, you know, try to get as close to 5 minutes each as you can. I want to go ahead and give you a little background on Nadir Ahmed. He graduated from Bradley University Religious Studies. He's been active in Muslim missionary work for over 20 years. And his website, where you can learn more about what he's doing, is Examine the Truth. And that's Examine the Truth with dashes between Examine the and the Truth. So put the dashes between the words and you'll get to his website there. So as I said, it's going to be a 5-minute opening statement. Bob will be opening with his statement first. Nadir will follow. And then after that, it'll be a free-flowing discussion. And you shouldn't really hear too much from me. The only time I would get involved is if, you know, somebody's just talking over somebody and you can't get... I roughly want to see, you know, equal time back and forth. So let's just make it a pleasant conversation back and forth, everybody being respectful and listening. And in that spirit, I think, you know, hopefully the audience will learn some, you know, some very interesting things tonight that maybe they haven't heard before. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Bob to start his opening statement.
Okay, thank you, Mike. And first of all, to any Muslim who might be listening, I welcome you, and I mean that sincerely. While today's subject includes a discussion of violence in the name of Islam, I am very aware that many peaceful Muslims renounce violence, live decent lives. In my many years of campus ministry, I conversed with many Muslims and found that a lot of them are truly seeking to be closer to God. I do think that the attempt on the part of peaceful Muslims to renounce or reinterpret jihad smacks head-on into plain commands that come from Muhammad and can be found in the Quran. That's why many Muslims today are actually converting to Christianity. However, whatever the stage of your present journey, you are welcome. Unfortunately, the occasion for today's discussion is horrific. And that's the understatement of the century. Unspeakable atrocities were committed against Israeli citizens by the terrorist organization Hamas on October 7th, and they did this in the name of Islam. This included children murdered in front of their parents, parents murdered in front of their children, women being raped with video of their rape being posted to their own Facebook pages from their own iPhones, babies' heads cut off. Now, some have tried to call these atrocities lies and Jewish propaganda, but guess who authenticates it? Hamas. Hamas itself. Hamas openly admits this, brags about it, revels in it. Far more disturbing are the pro-Palestinian college protesters admitting that these atrocities did in fact happen, but claiming Israel deserved it because they are occupiers. 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 Israel left Gaza back in 2005, leaving it completely under the control of the Palestinians. Let me say that again. Israel left Gaza back in 2005, leaving it completely under the control of the Palestinians. And they only took that land in the first place because a war had been declared against them by nine surrounding nations in 1967. But Israel won that war and it forced them to expand their borders for future safety reasons. Still, they were kind enough to withdraw for the sake of peace in 2005. They also at that time gave millions upon millions of dollars to Gaza for schools, hospital, food, greenhouses. They were rewarded with the abandoned synagogues being burnt down and rockets being fired into Israel right away, from all the way back in 2005 to present day. Now, while it's certainly true that there are some Palestinian families who want to live in peace, keep in mind that the Palestinian population voted Hamas into power, knowing full well that Hamas does not recognize Israel's right to even exist. They are not interested in a two-state solution, and many consider Israel an occupying country simply for being in the Middle East at all. There's a false narrative going around today that Jews have no ancient claim to any land in the Middle East. Supposedly, an indigenous people called the Palestinians lived there for thousands of years before the 20th century when those nasty Jews from Europe came and conquered them. No thinking person or student of history could take this seriously. For thousands of years, Jews lived in the land. Archaeology confirms the many years of Israel's existence. King David's name has been found on basalt. Hebrew writing carvings have been found in ancient synagogues. While the Jews were conquered by the Romans in the first century before Christ, the Romans themselves called the land Judea, named after the tribe of Judah. You can look at coins to this day with the name Judea on it from that era. But in the early second century, there was a Jewish revolt crushed by the Roman Emperor Hadrian. At that time, he renamed the land from Judea to Palestinia. That's the Latin word for Philistine, an old enemy of the Jews and a people who had been extinct for several centuries. At this time, under Hadrian, many Jews were murdered, carried off into slavery, or scattered around the world. But a remnant remained in the land for 2,000 years, all the way up to the 20th century. Palestine remained a nickname only, for the land. There was no significant Arab population until after the time of Muhammad and the conquering spread of Islam taking possession of the Holy Land. At the turn of the 20th century, Great Britain, in conjunction with the League of Nations and the Balfour Declaration, invited Jews to resettle their ancient home. In paradoxical fashion, the British, after arriving, sold 75% of Palestine to the Arabs, creating a new country called Transjordan. This is an extremely important and seldom taught fact. Please catch this. 75% of what had been offered to the Jews was sold behind their back to the Arabs instead. Not only were the Arabs offered a separate Palestinian state, quote unquote, long ago, they have been living in one since the early part of the 20th century. It's called Jordan, a country three times the size of what remained for the Jews. The Jews accepted this betrayal only because they had no choice. After all, a sliver of the promise was better than no land at all. But the Arabs didn't want the Jews to have even a sliver, and fresh controversy broke out over what to do with the remaining 25%. To appease the Arabs, the United Nations, which is now taking over from the League of Nations, voted to divvy up the remaining 25% between the Jews and the Arabs. UN Resolution 181 called for the partition of a Jewish and Arab state. The Jews accepted this partition, the Arabs did not. After the partition vote from the United Nations in 1947, Israel declared its independence in 1948. One day after they made this declaration, five Arab countries invaded Israel from Egypt, Transjordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq. This war had nothing to do with allowing a two-state solution. Indeed, the Arabs waged war only because they were rejecting a two-state solution. Their stated goal was the complete extermination of Israel. Arabs living in the Holy Land were encouraged by Arab countries to abandon their homes or join the invading armies. We're coming through, but the war won't last long. The Jews will be gone and you could return to your homes. Well, it didn't work out that way. Israel won the war. Those who were displaced became refugees, but not all Arabs left the Holy Land. Many Arabs remained and became Israeli citizens, thousands of them. And as citizens of Israel, they have more rights today than any Arab in any Muslim Arab country. A publicity ploy by Yasser Arafat in the 1960s began emphasizing the name Palestinian to a people who previously called themselves Arabs, and that's when the narrative about the so-called original Palestinian inhabitants began. But the ones who wanted conquest, indeed the ones who wanted genocide, were the surrounding nations. I'm reading from 1947 quotes. King of Saudi Arabia, there are 50 million Arabs. What does it matter if we lose 10 million people to kill all of the Jews? The price is worth it. Same year, Secretary General of the Arab League. This will be a war of extermination and momentous massacre, which will be spoken of like the Mongolian massacres. From the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, I declare a holy war, my Muslim brothers. Murder the Jews, murder them all. So much for the lies that there would be peace if we only had a two-state solution. So much for the lies that Israel is occupying somebody else's land. I do understand sincere ignorance. So I'm not saying that everyone who believes the lie is a liar. I am saying that everyone who believes the lie has been horribly deceived. The reason Muslim countries do not want a Jewish state is because it is a Jewish state, period. It was an attempt to obey the Quran. Surah 5:51, believers, take neither the Jews nor the Christians for your friends. They are friends with one another. Whoever of you seeks their friendship will become one of their number. God does not guide the wrongdoers. Surah 9:123, believers, make war on the infidels who dwell around you. Surah 48:29, Muhammad is God's apostle. Those who follow him are ruthless to unbelievers, but merciful to one another. Surah 9:73 and 74, Prophet, make war on the unbelievers and the hypocrites and deal rigorously with them. Hell shall be their home, an evil fate. They swear by God that they said nothing, yet they uttered the word of unbelief and renounced Islam. So unbelief in Islam is the real issue. Surah 9:29, fight those people of the book who do not believe in Allah. The people of the book and the Quran are identified as Christians and Jews. And that's my opening statement.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Nadir, if you want to take longer than 5 minutes, feel free to do so. Bob went over by a few minutes, so feel free to go over 5 minutes.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Bob, for that. I believe the topic of this discussion is, does Israel have the right to defend itself? And the answer is absolutely not. And the reason why is because Israel is a rat state. A racist, apartheid, terrorist state, which has imprisoned 2.4 million people in a concentration camp called Gaza. Says who? Says Amnesty International. Says who? Says Human Rights Watch, as well as multiple human rights organizations have confirmed this. So for tonight's debate, I have come armed to the teeth with authoritative references. And I'm going to give you the Google keyword search on that, Human Rights Watch, Gaza, Israel, open air prison, so you can verify the facts right here, right now. Because, see, the problem here, the core issue is a rewrite of world history. Those people who support history, who support Israel, they want to rewrite world history and twist it for their, so to trick you, basically, into supporting Israel. In terms of all of these Quran verses, which Bob has cited, ignore them. Why? Because Israel is actually the very country he's defending. Israel has already defended that. And they, on October 7th, they said Islam doesn't teach to do kill innocent people, and they actually do accept Islam as a religion of peace. Let me give you the Google keyword search on that. What motivate terrorists? What you will not find is all of Bob's presentation. It has nothing to do with the Quran. Number one hit on that or point is because of the injustices done to the people, and that's why they joined these terrorist organizations. So we could just ignore all the references to Islam, as the research has already debunked all of that. So Israel is a rat state, which has imprisoned 2.4 million people. Amnesty International, as well as others, have confirmed that. But in addition to that, Israel is also a terrorist state. So you might say, okay, well, where's your evidence on that? Who said it's a terrorist state? Now prepare for the shock. I said, prepare for the shock. I'm quoting the United States Department of Justice. That's who. The Google keyword search on that is Zionist Terrorism Department of Justice. Let's pull up the article. If you got your phone, you can read along with me. And I'm quoting from the government website, Jewish terrorism against the British and the Arabs did contribute heavily to the removal of the British from Palestine, the abandonment of Liga Negociata, and now get this, and the creation of the Jewish state of Israel. What did it? Jewish terrorism against the British and Arabs did what? I'm repeating. It contributed to the creation of the state of Israel. Truck bomb, car bomb. As soon as these Jewish invading settlers started coming into Palestine, they triggered a relentless campaign of terrorist attacks, and a 10-year campaign of terrorism against the Arabs and the British, so much to the point that the British couldn't contain it anymore, and that's how we got Israel. Why? Because we just couldn't stop the Jewish terrorist violence. Says who? Department of Justice. Okay, so this is a terrorist state, which and that is why when you look, you see they have in Gaza today, they have killed over 5,000 innocent people in 2 weeks. Why? Well, didn't the Department of Justice tell you they're a terrorist state? And now let's compare that. In Afghanistan, they killed 4,000 people, innocent people died in 4 years, and that was considered a terrible tragedy. Then what do you have to say about 5,000 people killed in 2 weeks? That's not collateral damage. That's genocide. And so this is, and not only that, but no food, no water, no electricity. What else do you expect from a terror state? Which the State Department, which the Department of Justice warned us about. This is and this is not terrorism. And then you remember on October 7th, Netanyahu told a population of 2.4 million people, march, get out of your homes and go. Everyone's asking, where are these people going to go? The media's like, this is a prison. There is no place for you to go. Now that's, where do we find that from? Isn't that what Joseph Stalin did? Yeah. You see, if you look at the actions of Israel, you will find the worst monsters in human history committing these type of horrific atrocities. So, you know, no need to give you a reference on that. We've all seen that they're asking people to march to nowhere. So this is the reason why Israel has no reason to has no right to defend itself. Because if you say this terrorist organization has a right to defend itself, then give the same right to Hamas. Give the same right to ISIS. They are also terrorist organizations. Okay, so, and actually, ISIS and Hamas, they're not as bad as Israel. Says who? Says Holocaust survivor Dr. Gabi Mate. He says, if you look at the just sheer numbers of death, Hamas and, I mean, ISIS nowhere compares to Israel. And so that's the first reason, because Israel is a rat state. And it is not Hamas which is the cause of the problem, it's Israel. What happened on October 6th was simply a prison break. People broke out of the prison, and they killed some of the prison guards and murdered their families. But who is at root cause is the people who imprisoned 2.4 million indigenous people in this concentration camp. They're the ones who are the source of this problem. So, and my final reason why there is no right to defend itself is because there are peaceful solutions out there. Did you know that? Did your Did your media tell you that there are peaceful solutions out there that can resolve this and can destroy Hamas? It can, and it works 100% of the time. In fact, I will quote for you Dr. Martin Luther King's daughter. She gave the best refutation to these Israel supporters. She quoted her father. She says, "Where?" She said, "The power without love is reckless and abusive." She says, "Where is the love toward these people? Where is the love toward the Palestinian people?" And this is a very important point. And I will quote, and these are not just, reassuring words. I'm going to leave you with a quote from from General Petraeus. He said, "Listen, it's not enough just to fight and kill people. You have to offer the population some hope for a better future. That's how you defeat terrorist organizations, not by just sheer bombing them." You see, I have a joke which I tell people, but there's a lot of truth in that. People who live in $500,000 houses, have a BMW in the garage, go to vacation every year to Europe, they don't join Hamas, okay? It's people who have no hope, no hope for the future. These are the people who join Hamas. Now, I'm not saying you have to give all that to them, but what I'm saying is once you give them opportunity, these people will leave Hamas, and they will and because why join Hamas? So that's how you basically defeat these terrorist organizations. As General Petraeus says, give them hope, break down that prison wall, let them come into Israel, feed, clothe them, give them jobs, and that's how you beat these terrorist organizations. So, what I would like to hear from Bob, I would like to hear him defend that 5,000 dead in 2 weeks. I'd like to hear him, as a Christian, defend that number and say, "Oh, this is just collateral damage." So I guess my time is up, and I guess we're going to have a discussion here.
Okay, well, I would be happy to give a defense here. First of all, the Gaza Health Ministry, which is run by Hamas, is the primary news source for most of the news you're reading. And I simply do not take them seriously. I simply do not believe the things that they say. They're giving faulty information, but I hope you all heard my opponent clearly, because he agreed with Hamas. First words out of his mouth, Israel does not have a right to exist. Now, is there collateral damage in any war? There will be collateral damage, but Israel sent out leaflets, sent out text messages, asked Egypt to open up a road and let people from Gaza out. Hamas wouldn't let them do it. Hamas builds their military installations near hospitals, near schools, because their whole publicity program is to create as much collateral damage as possible to make Israel look like the aggressor. Hamas does not recognize Israel's right to exist, and Israel abandoned Hamas in 2005 because they asked for the autonomy. How was it a prison and a concentration camp when they gave them millions of dollars that they spent on terrorism instead of food and greenhouses?
Okay. Well, hey, just if I could throw this out, can we have like 2 minutes each, uninterrupted, because
We agreed to a free-flowing conversation, but Mike's here to make sure it doesn't get out of hand.
But you can go ahead and respond. You've got at least equal time to respond. Respond to Bob right now.
Bring up one issue at a time, and then we can talk about that.
Well, the facts are so overwhelming, it's hard not to use them, my friend.
One issue at a time. That 5,000 dead in 2 weeks, that number is defended by UNICEF. Let me give you the Google keyword search. UNICEF defends accuracy of Gaza death tolls as horror unfolds, and it is also defended by the government itself. Kirby said, we don't trust Hamas, but we do accept that the number of innocent people killed is well into the thousands.
But so they are getting that from Hamas.
No, that's the government I'm quoting for you. I'm quoting UNICEF.
You can be quoting UNICEF, but UNICEF is getting their information from Hamas. That's the source of the information.
No. Okay, a United States government is not getting the source from Hamas. Neither is UNICEF. So you have been debunked right
over. You seem to feel that if the more organizations you list.
No water, no electricity.
And whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? Hamas. Now you say Israel. I'd like to ask you a question. You say Israel is just as bad as Hamas. When's the last time Israel went in and raped women and put it over Facebook? When's the last time Israel went in and decapitated babies' heads?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. I noticed that I did quote references, and like I said in the beginning, I'm going to quote authoritative references to debunk this nonsense. Now, when America They did. I'm repeating for you. America's not getting their information from Hamas. They say we are not getting our information from Hamas. We don't trust them, but we do accept that the death toll is well into the thousands.
But they're accepting that from news sources, which are getting their information from Hamas. Okay. Look, we're just going to have to leave it up to our audience. Okay. But you know what? You quoted Martin Luther King's daughter. Did you know that Martin Luther King himself said that those who do not accept Zionism are anti-Semites?
Okay.
Well, so if you want to talk about, by the way, just because you list a bunch of organizations, are you actually making the claim that what the majority believe is true? Because if you are, you just justified slavery. There was a time in the world where the majority of the people in the world believed in slavery. So we don't determine truth by the majority. We determine truth by the facts. And I'm not hearing facts from you. I'm just hearing, well, this organization says it, that organization says it.
Okay.
All that's doing is listing a bunch of organizations and going to the look at the majority argument. Very weak argument.
Okay, so let me cite my source. This is Fox News. White House battles reporters rejecting Hamas Gaza death toll. Just put that in your Google keyword search. And when he said, we reject Hamas's death toll, but we do not dispute the fact that well into the thousands of innocent people have been killed. So that's the article.
As they heard from Gaza Health Ministry as their source.
Okay, I think you've been refuted on that. I cited UNICEF and I've cited this source. So
keep on believing that. Keep on telling yourself, Nadir, sooner or later you'll start to believe it.
No water. Hold on, let me address your other point. No food, no water.
Because of Hamas. Israel had nothing to do with that. It was because of Hamas.
Please allow me to talk. You didn't let me finish. Okay.
Go ahead, finish.
So, Israel is responsible for its own actions, okay? That's not Hamas's fault, is to starve an entire population of people. And so that argument has been refuted right there. So this all goes back to the fact that Israel is a rat state, a racist, apartheid, terrorist state, as stated by the United States Department of Justice, which you were not able to refute either. So what else do you expect from a rat state? So now you did say that, well, I don't accept that Gaza is a prison. I've already cited HumanRightsWatch.org, Amnesty International, and there's several.
Okay, I have a question for you. Did the people of Gaza ask Israel to withdraw and give them autonomy? And did not Israel do that back in 2005?
What Israel did, they imprisoned them. They built a huge fence around them to
so that they couldn't cross the border and commit more terror. The first day they got their autonomy, they started firing rockets into Israel. What's Israel supposed to do?
Okay. Yeah, I already told you. This is a very easy solution. So let me now answer your question. First of all, let's say the Gazan people are doing terrorism, things like that. That is no justification to imprison an entire population of 2.4
million. It's a justification to not allow them to do more terror.
Honestly, I've had discussions with neo-Nazis on this, and to be very honest with you, the neo-Nazis are a lot more,
So now on your list of majority rules, you're even listing the Nazis. Good one, my friend. Let me ask you a question, Nadir. If somebody broke into your house and murdered some of your loved ones and then went away and promised to come back and murder more of your loved ones, you wouldn't call the police to go after them?
Absolutely, I would. But that's the
why can't Israel do the same thing?
Because Israel...
What did thugs breaking into a house ever do that these people didn't do to the Israelis on October the 7th? You're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, and it's just not. You're taking this horrific narrative, and you're trying to say, "Well, Bob, Israel deserved it."
Allow me to talk.
Yeah, let's hear a bit from Nadir here.
Yeah. Okay. So that is the analogy you gave actually doesn't work. The analogy which I gave you is a much better analogy, that this is that Israel imprisoned 2.4 million people in a concentration camp. And what happened was a prison break. They killed some of the prison guards and murdered some of their families. Now, of course, that's not right. But at the core problem here is with Israel for doing that horrific atrocity to these people. Now, you ask, well, what should Israel do? Well, I've already given what Dr. Martin Luther King's daughter said was right, and what General Petraeus said was right. You show mercy and compassion to these people. People only join terrorist organizations when they are oppressed and persecuted, when there is no hope.
Okay, let me respond. Okay. I would say that after their daughters were raped and babies' heads were cut off and they came to eliminate Hamas, but they still sent out text messages and leaflets warning the average populace to get out of the way, I would say that's a lot of mercy. I have interviewed Israeli soldiers myself. I know their protocol. They do not try to do collateral damage. Hamas, on the other hand, lives for collateral damage. And why is Hamas setting up its military installation in hospitals if they don't want Israel to do that? Why did Hamas refuse to let the citizens of Gaza leave originally? Because they wanted that to happen. Because they know they can't win a military war against Israel, so they're fighting a publicity war instead. That's why.
Okay. So you asked me three questions there, so let me answer the first one. This nonsense about Israel telling 2.4 million people to get out of the way, that's what Joseph Stalin did. Now, if it was like 100 or 200, I can understand. But to tell an entire population of people in a prison to march to nowhere, that is a war crime.
Well, you haven't answered my question. How else were they going to go in and root out the terrorists? If they were not concerned about the population, why would they be asking the population to get out of the way?
Allow me to finish your second argument. I'm going to address one issue at a time. You said that you've actually talked to the IDF and you've confirmed.
I interviewed an Israeli soldier one time. Yes, I did.
Allow me to. Okay, that's not how research is conducted. Okay, you need to.
Well, it's not conducted by getting your facts from Gaza Health Ministry either.
Okay, so this all goes back to that number, 5,000 dead in 2 weeks. That's not collateral damage. That's genocide.
And it is simply not the truth.
Okay. Well, I've already cited my source. UNICEF has backed that number, so we're not going to go back to that issue. But there is no evidence for what you're talking about, and I've never seen any evidence. I mean, of course, it is trumpeted that Israel only attacks, make sure they're not attacking civilians, but it's a bunch of baloney.
Wait a minute. Are you saying there's no evidence for those attacks from Hamas on October the 7th?
I'm saying Israel is a worse terrorist organization.
Tell me right now. Give me an example of something Israel did that was worse than what happened on October 7th. This ought to be really good.
Oh, absolutely. No food, no water, no electricity.
That was Hamas that was responsible for that. Okay. Just what part of that are you not understanding, my friend?
Israel is responsible for its own actions, not Hamas. Okay?
Israel's warning the people to leave, and Hamas is keeping them prisoners. Now, who's making the concentration camp? It's Hamas that kept them there as prisoners.
I'll give you an example of my neo-Nazi friend. And, I talked about this.
I don't have any neo-Nazi friends. Where are you meeting all these neo-Nazis, Nadir?
Well, I have friends in high places and low places. And listen to what he said.
Well, low so far.
I was asking him, he would say, when Hamas did those attacks, I was cheering them on. I said, so you know what Israel is doing right now in Gaza? You bet you'd love that as those Jews over there. He said, no, I wouldn't. He says, God, I don't got the stomach for that. Think about that. The slow, torturous genocide taking place in Gaza. My Nazi friend said, I don't got the stomach for that.
Nadir, hearing about your Nazi friend who doesn't have the stomach for genocide just moves me close to tears, in as much as the Nazis have done genocide already.
Yeah, look at the point. So his very interesting point, the gas chambers, according to him, was a humane way to kill people. But what's happening in Gaza is a slow, torturous death of suffocating 2.4 million people with no food, no water, no electricity.
But that's not coming from Israel. That's coming from Hamas. And no matter how many times you slice it, it's still baloney.
Okay, so let's get back to what General Petraeus was saying, because there is no need for war to begin with. Because as General Petraeus stated, he said, you got to offer the population something of hope for a better future. And he was very successful in Afghanistan in defusing many of these terrorist organizations.
Yeah, well, I'd like to hear Petraeus say that again after someone breaks into his home and murders his wife and then rapes her first and puts it out over to Facebook. Petraeus might just have a different view on it after that, huh?
Yeah, he's an expert on terrorism, by the way.
See, you're listing all these people, and you're trying to do this majority opinion equals morality. History has shown us that majority opinion is often in the wrong. I go back again and quote the time when most people in the world accepted slavery. But you and I know that slavery is wrong, and the majority believing in it at one time didn't make a difference. So the majority people taking Hamas's side, that really doesn't make any difference. It's not going to cut it with me. And that's not the same as citing a fact. All you're doing is saying, well, this person says it, that person says it. You're giving me a list of people who agree with you. Fine. There's a lot of people who agree with you. And all that means is there's a lot of people who agree with you. Not hearing any actual facts, my friend.
I'm not citing who's the most popular opinion. I'm citing expert opinion. That's what I made sure to do coming into this debate. And so what I also noticed tonight, you really weren't able to defend the fact that Israel is a rat state. It's a terrorist state which was founded upon Jewish terrorism.
Well, I hear you saying that. I have not heard you back that up. Just because you use a lot of ad hominems, you've done enough debates to know what an ad hominem is and what a non sequitur is. And that's all you're doing, my friend. It's smoke and mirrors. And we're not buying it. We're not buying it. Go sell this somewhere else.
Pull up a browser, a web browser, and just type Department of Justice, Zionist terrorism. And I'm going to quote for you again. Jewish terrorism against the British and the Arabs did contribute heavily to the removal of the British from Palestine and the abandonment of the League of Nations mandate and the creation of the Jewish state.
There was an uprising amongst Jews against the British who had invited the Jews there and then had gone back on their promise. But just because someone chooses to call that terrorism doesn't mean that that's what it is. And if you have a problem with terrorism, would you like to, in front of our audience right now, renounce what Hamas did on October the 7th? Would you like to do that? Do you categorically renounce what Hamas did on October the 7th?
I'd love to answer that question, but before I go there, I want to explain to you that when we call terrorism, I mean, this is the United States Department of Justice, but not only them, but let me give you another reference, history.com. They have also talked about Jewish terrorism. This is my point, Bob. It is a rewrite of world history of what you believe in. I'm going to quote for you history.com, the article I'm reading from, is State of Israel Proclaimed. And here they say that it was Jewish terrorism. That is a statement.
For every website you find on the internet saying one thing, you can find one that says something else. And by the way, even if the Department of Justice was saying these things, there's a lot of problems with the Department of Justice right now.
Okay, well, let me address your next point, your last point, your first point. Well, I'll find a website.
And this is the most recent DOJ site established by the Biden administration. Anyway, if you went back to previous DOJ websites during the Trump era or going back into the 40s and 50s, you wouldn't be seeing that. So this is a lot of smoke and mirrors.
So I came tonight not quoting Sword of the Lord or aljihadalakbar.com.
You did not hear me quote from Sword of the Lord once. As a matter of fact, I have renounced Sword of the Lord publicly, so you really ought to get your facts straight before you continue with these ad hominem arguments.
No, I'm not accusing you.
I'm very aware of the magazine called Sword of the Lord, and it's a very dumb fundamentalist magazine. Not that all fundamentalists are dumb, but this one is, and I've renounced it. So you're just slinging out everything you possibly can here. Hoping that something will stick. So far, nothing has stuck, though, which is good.
Okay, that's fine. Look, Bob, I'm making sure that when you quote, my point here is this, when you quote authoritative historians, scholars, it's all going to read the same, okay? Nobody is going to deny the facts which I'm giving you. Now, I'm going to quote to you one last reference here, then I'll answer the question about Hamas. This is from the United Nations investigation on Israel back in 2008 on Gaza, and I'm quoting from that report. The report, for those who wants to, is the question of Palestine. It's called the Goldstone Report, and listen to what they say. The Israeli offensive has been deliberate assault meant to punish, humiliate, and terrorize the civilian population, okay?
That is simply not true. That is not what the Israeli government is saying. That's not what they're doing. But since you want to quote so many authoritative sources, let me quote the best authoritative source you could possibly believe in. How about Muhammad himself from the Hadith? Lying is wrong except in three things: the lie of a man to his wife to make her content with him, a lie to an enemy for war is deception, or a lie to settle trouble between people. Those are the words of Muhammad. So if we want to quote these high sources, let's quote the highest source. You see, it's okay in the Muslim population to lie.
No, it's not. But I can't get into that.
Well, I just showed you that your own founder says it is.
No. That's way off topic. I'm sorry. I got to stick with topic.
Oh, you mean a terrorist attack against Israel in the name of Islam? That's not off topic. That's 100% in the center of our topic.
Not done in the name of Islam.
It most certainly was. Hamas brags all the time about how they're serving Allah by wiping. And Hamas says they want to wipe every Jew off the face of the earth. You've never heard a Jew say we want to wipe every Palestinian off the face of the earth.
That's another myth. But anyways, let me deal with this latest myth, which I've been hearing trumpeted in the media, that Hamas just wants to kill Jews. Where's your evidence for this? You know, if you look at the research, in fact, I'm going to give you an article real quick. People who have actually investigated these claims, and I'm going to quote from the PBS article. It says, "What is Hamas and what to know about its origins and leaders, et cetera, et cetera." And in this article, there's not a single mention about their intention to do a genocidal, belief about you kill all Jews. This is a myth and a lie which people tell so that it's to trick Americans into supporting Israel, because they're trying to fool people into thinking, oh yeah, you know, we Hamas are like neo-Nazis, yeah, and if you support us, you're fighting neo-Nazis. This is nothing more than an Israeli terrorist hoodwink.
So you are defending Hamas. Boy, that I thought you were going to at least renounce Hamas, yeah, and then try to say Israel was just... I gave you more credit. Hey, Ghazi Hamad, senior member of the Hamas Political Bureau. This was on November the 1st. Israel is a country that has no place on our land. We must remove that country from the Hamas covenant. Article 11, the land of Palestine is an Islamic holy possession consecrated for future Muslim generations until Judgment Day. No one can renounce it in any part or abandon it in any part. Palestine is in Islamic land. The liberation of Palestine is an individual duty for every Muslim wherever he may be. The liberation of Palestine is defined by the people of Hamas as the elimination of Israel. They are saying Israel has no right to exist. And they demonstrated that belief on October the 7th with those horrific murders, which so far, it sounds like you're defending.
Actually, I'm glad you raised this, because this shows where this baloney is coming from about Hamas just wants to kill Jews. It's an interpretation of what Hamas...
Oh, I see. When they say Israel doesn't have a right to exist, they don't mean that Israel doesn't have a right to exist. I get it. Okay.
Hey, listen, Bob, I firmly believe Israel has no right to exist and it should be wiped off the face of the map. But that doesn't mean I believe that all Jews want to be killed. I believe in a society...
Well, how are they going to wipe them off the face of the map without going in and killing all of them? Which is what they mean when they say from the river to the sea.
I believe in that too. But let me explain to you how it works. What we believe is a future country where both Jews, Muslims, and others live in a secular democracy, not a rat state, not a racist apartheid terrorist state. So, and I'm going to give you another example.
Just because you keep calling Israel a rat state doesn't mean it is. Yeah. You've got to come up with something better than that.
Okay, so now let me give you something better.
By the way, the U.S. government identifies Hamas as a terrorist organization, too.
Absolutely. Recently there was a hostage release. Her name is Yochved Liftshift. I can't pronounce that name. But let me give you Google the article, Hamas released hostage press conference. Listen to what Hamas told her. They said, the people, I'm quoting her, this is a Jewish hostage. She says, the people told us that they are people who believe in the Quran and they will not harm us. They were treated good. Let me explain something to you. If Hamas was some kind of neo-Nazi organization, they'd be burning swastikas in them. They'd be doing terrible abuses to them. So here are Hamas in...
You can't get more neo-Nazi than cutting a baby's head off. Understand? Just what part of that are you defending?
Yeah. Okay, I'll get to that point, but let me first refute the nonsense of trying to portray... Because, this is what Vladimir Putin is doing. Vladimir Putin is claiming to be fighting LGBT neo-Nazis in Ukraine, which is a bunch of baloney. And the people who support Israel are trying to feed us the same horse manure that they're fighting Hamas neo-Nazis. No, they're not. Hamas are a group of fundamentalist Muslims who believe in... that the Jews and the Christians are people of the book. They are a protected people who live under Islamic law, and the Jews will pay the jizya to them, and then in return they will offer them protection and they will live in the Islamic State. That's what Hamas believes, because it's going to be the very Jews themselves who are going to fund the Hamas expeditions, their salaries, etc. That's what Hamas believes. That's the core fundamental.
Actually, what the Quran says is fight against such as those to whom the scriptures were given as believe in neither God nor the last day, who do not forbid what God and his apostles. They're saying people who believe in the Bible, the Christians and the Jews, if they don't accept Muhammad, you need to fight against them. And by the way, you never responded to the fact that originally this was not about a two-state solution. Well, it was according to the United Nations, but the response was that the king of Saudi Arabia called for the annihilation of the Jews. Kill all the Jews. He wasn't saying like you're trying to tell us, well, Israel can exist, but or Israel shouldn't exist, but we don't want to kill all of them. No, he said kill all of them. Secretary General of the Arab League, this will be a war of extermination, a momentous massacre. Sure. The Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, murder the Jews, murder, and he's calling it a holy war, my Muslim brothers. These are quotations that you're not dealing with.
Let me deal with those quotations. So the whole, so now we're going back to 1948. You're
of course we are, because you say Israel doesn't have a right to exist, and that's when her founding was, 1948.
Okay,
so of course we're going back to that.
Thank you. I'm glad to that you're taking me there, because obviously the neo-Nazi stuff didn't work with the Hamas. So let's see if there's some kind of neo-Nazi.
The Grand Mufti was a Nazi. Consulted with Hitler and Himmler both.
Let's get back to what you were saying.
Yeah, let's not get onto any of the facts. Let's get away from those facts.
So here's a very simple answer. The genocidal quotes are being made from both sides. Look, I will quote to you Eilat Shaked. She's a justice minister of Israel. Listen to what she says. She said, this is a war between two people. Who is the enemy? The Palestinian people. They should go as the physical homes in which they raise the snakes. Otherwise, more little snakes will be raised there. Thousands of likes on Facebook. This is, I'm quoting from the Washington Post article, Israel new justice minister consider all Palestinians to be the enemies and their children little snakes. So if you look, you know, both sides are making genocidal comments. And so now,
well, the children in Palestine are taught in kindergarten to hate the Jews and murder them when they grow up. So perhaps he was referring to something like that.
So now let's get, I'm still finishing the point about this so-called genocide in 1948. So that's the first point, which is this is not how research is conducted. By saying, okay, look, this guy made a genocidal statement. Everybody's making those type of statements. But the second point here is that the Arabs already lived with the Jews. They were already neighbor to neighbor. Jews are just as indigenous as the Arabs to those people. Now, unfortunately, there were some attacks which took place. And at most, we did see some ethnic cleansing where some Jews were asked to leave the Arab lands and to go to Israel. But wait a second. If the Mufti and all these people are calling for a genocide, why didn't they just do the genocide right there, considering they're right next to
them? They tried to do it. They lost the war. They waged war in Israel, and lost the war.
There was no attempted genocide.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. There was an attempted. Okay. Five nations attacked Israel. You don't call that an attempt. By the way, as I mentioned, and I know you heard this, a lot of the Arabs didn't leave their homes. They stayed in Israel. They became Israeli citizens. Now, if Israel's such a horrible apartheid state, why is it that under the Bush administration, then when they were talking again about a two-state solution, concentrating on the West Bank, the Israelis offered their Arab citizens, you want to go live in Palestine? And they said, are you out of your minds? They didn't want to go live there because they knew that that would be the terrorist state. So actually, it's apparently not too apartheid to the Arabs who live in Israel. It's a myth that only Jews are citizens of Israel. There are many Arabs there, and they're given the rights of citizens. They're given more rights than they would have gotten if they had gone to move to a new Palestinian state. And the evidence for that is they said they did not want to move.
Okay, the evidence of whether Israel is an apartheid racist state or not, look, that is something which the human rights organizations...
Oh, here we go. We're going to give lists again.
Bob, allow me to finish. Now, you just take your so-called evidences to them and argue with them. And once they publish a new paper and say, oh, we retract all that, believe me, I will retract my statement.
Any one of them is welcome to come on this radio show at any time and present their evidence to me.
Okay, so going back to 1948, as you can see, there's no real evidence of genocide over there, but I want to...
Because they lost the war.
Five
there was attempted genocide.
Bob, no, that was five nations of people, five Arab nations fighting against Israel, but why? It was a war against terror.
You don't think five nations against one has genocide?
Bob.
If that's not an attempt at genocide, no. I'd like to see the word genocide removed from the dictionary.
Okay, Bob, let me finish my point. What we need to understand about the war in 1948, that was a war against terror. Right before, it was 10 years before that, the Jewish invading settlers launched a vicious campaign of car bomb, truck bomb, blowing up Arabs in their cafes, blowing up government buildings, blowing up police stations. The terrorism got so bad that we couldn't contain the terrorism anymore. The British left.
First of all, that little bit that happened was renounced by the majority of the Israelis, and it was still done because the British had gone back on their promises. The British were doing blockades after inviting Jews back into this land. They were blockading them. They had promised them their own homeland. They weren't giving it to them. In any war, you have some people that go overboard, and you'll find Israelis that will condemn that. The Israeli government will condemn that. You don't hear the government of Hamas or the government of the Palestinian Authority condemning these things.
Okay,
you don't hear that.
Let me refute that nonsense, first of all. The Israelis, they condemn it on paper. But let me quote to you one of those terrorists, and he may sound familiar to you. One of those terrorists who was launching these attacks was a man named Menachem Begin. Okay, he is the Osama bin Laden, the Jewish Osama bin Laden. And guess what? He became the prime minister of Israel. That's right. A wanted terrorist became the prime minister of Israel. So when you say, oh, well, Israel has renounced all their terrorist past, that's just a bunch of baloney.
They renounced the fact that some things went extreme and got out of hand, but they weren't considering it terrorism when people were fighting for their freedom. And I hear this all the time from your side. Well, one man's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter. Well, in the case of Israel, Great Britain had invited them into the land and then was then taking the side of the Arabs to kick them out. So, yeah, they had a revolt. And in any war, in any revolt, things get out of hand and then people renounce it. But I'm not hearing any renouncing from you. You still haven't renounced what Hamas did on October the 7th.
Yeah, let's get back to Hamas. I'm sorry. We got so sidetracked on that. But I thought it was kind of
sidetracked. It was the whole reason you wanted to have this debate. You contacted me right after that and said you wanted to debate the Hamas-Israel war. Now, you know that they're fighting that war because of what happened on October 7th. Why are you not calling that a sidetracking?
Okay.
Talk about smoke and mirrors.
By the way, we're at five minutes left, or maybe a little bit less, just so we know that.
Okay. So now let's talk about Hamas. And you asked me to condemn Hamas. And sure, I'll go ahead and do that. But I want to hear you first condemn Hamas. But wait a second. You need to condemn all the Hamases, because what Hamas did on October 6th, actually, the American Indians did that to the white colonial settlers.
But let me just interject you really quickly. I was wrong. It's 2 minutes roughly till music. Okay. Sorry about
that. Okay. Well, here's the condemnation you're going to hear from me.
Whatever Hamas did has already been done by the American Indians, like the Comanche Indians. So if you condemn Hamas, you better condemn those American Indians.
I have already many, many times condemned what America did to the American Indians. So you're not getting anywhere with this one, my friend.
Then you can't condemn Hamas.
Of course I can condemn Hamas for what
America
they...
America is a Hamas nation.
Because I'm an American citizen doesn't mean I agree with everything America does.
Wait a second, Bob, you're not understanding. Indian Hamas, they massacred and killed colonial settlers just like what Hamas did today, or October 6th. So if you condemn Hamas, you got to condemn the American Indians.
First of all, I've already condemned it, but what I'm not going to condemn is Israel's right to defend itself. You already told me yourself right here, live on the air, that if somebody broke into your house, murdered one of your loved ones, and promised to do it again, you would go after them or send the police after them. That's all Israel's doing. They still sent leaflets. They still sent text messages. They did everything they could for the population to get out of the way. Hamas, who I do condemn, would not allow the population to leave because they wanted that collateral damage just because it would look bad and people like you could come on the air and defend them. You want to talk about the truth? That's the truth.
No, I'm not defending Hamas. What I'm saying is
Sure could have fooled me. You sound like you're defending them all over the place.
Oh, no. Actually, the situation here is that Israel is the worst terrorist organization than Hamas.
Yeah, but you didn't give an example of Jews going in and cutting off the babies from Hamas children, did you?
No water, no food, no electricity.
Due to Hamas. Okay, we're done. Okay. Anyway, Nadir, my friend, I know it's always spirited, but I still appreciate the fact that you come on and you're willing to have this debate. So thank you for that.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bob.
And I wish you the best. I really
you
do.
Too.
We'll
you
see
too.
You next time, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.